Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The MVP race heating up and everyone has their favorite candidate, including James Harden, telling ESPN he deserves it. I've only been here for a few weeks, but I already see his mindset. He wants to win. Some guys just want numbers, but he has both. But on the West Coast, Devin Booker also making a strong case. Best record in the West. Dropped a cool 49 last night in a win against Denver. Here's Booker on if he belongs in that MVP convo.
You hear the MVP chants, but are you looking at that? Hey, I need to be in that conversation.
Yeah. One of the best performances I've seen him have in since I've been here because of the variables and the obstacles that we had. To have 49 and 10 on a back-to-back is – it just kind of not backs up what I said in pregame, but the fact that he's not in the MVP conversation is just somewhat silly.
There's starting to be more buzz around Booker's name with the Suns still rolling late in the season. He now has the 6th best odds for league MVP, that according to Caesars, while Joel Embiid and Jokic are still strong favorites. Stephen A., where do you think Booker belongs in the MVP convo?
Easily top three. Listen, I was just on the Denver radio station with our former colleague here at ESPN, Mark Schlereth. Who does radio in Denver and his morning show does a great, great job with his crew. And I was talking about Jokic because Jokic is unbelievable. The man can't jump onto a curb from the street. He can't jump onto a curb and nobody can stop him. Just a big tub of lard just leaning on people and doing everything. And you can't stop him. He's amazing. He's just amazing. And I think that when you look at Denver, if Jamal Murray – And Michael Porter Jr. ultimately in the years to come. I think in the next year or two, Big Perk, we'll be talking about Memphis and Denver, you know, in terms of supremacy in the Western Conference, unless Phoenix sticks around for a long time to come. We just can't ignore what we're seeing from Jokic and the crew. Joel Embiid is phenomenal. He's right up there for the MVP race. And unlike Jokic, he has more of a profound impact on the defensive side of the ball, which Doc Rivers and others would be quick to talk about. And we can't deny all of this stuff. We know what Ja Morant is capable of. He's averaging 27 a night, even though he's going to be out the next 2 weeks and all of this other stuff. We know what Giannis does. We get all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Phoenix Suns are 60-14. 6-0, okay? They've won. When you talk about him, they're 15 games better than the Philadelphia 76ers. 15 games. When you look at what's transpiring in Phoenix, I'm going to remind everybody what I said earlier. They got a top two coach of the year candidate in Monty Williams. They got a top two defensive player of the year candidate in Mikal Bridges. And I think that the time to ignore Devin Booker has to come to an end. He's got a mid-range game. He's got a long-range game. He's athletic. He can finish at the basket. He can finish in the open court. The brother was always scoring points throughout his career. But now with CP3 and those boys there, he's an even better player. They're a big-time defensive team in the NBA. What doesn't he do? Chris Paul is out for 15 games. He departed as them being the best team in the West and in the NBA. He comes back 15 games later. They're still the best team in the West and the NBA. The brother is special. We watched him last year during the NBA Finals. It was a little up and down a couple of games. Other games, he exploded. The dude has, he's got star written all over him. And what we could say about the other people, my point is, we can't deny saying about him. And when you take that into consideration, along with him carrying the offensive load, him being the primary option, along with the fact that they're the best team in the NBA, record-wise by a distance, by a distance, how are we going to sit here with a straight face prioritizing winning prioritizing availability, prioritizing leadership, prioritizing accountability, prioritizing all of those things that matter to us all. How are we going to ignore Devin Booker when all he does in a very low, monotone voice and approach to the game is simply go out there and do his thing on a night-in, night-out basis? I just don't know how we can ignore this kid any longer. I really can't.
Well, we can't ignore him, and I feel like we're not ignoring him. And I said this when we had a conversation a few weeks ago when CP3 went out, and I said we all acknowledge that Devin Booker is a young superstar. Now it's time for him to show us that he could win without CP3. He did that. I believe that he has entered the conversation of MVP. Do I put him above Jokic? No. Do I put him above Embiid? No. Do I put him above Giannis? No. And you know why? For the simple fact that, one, those three guys have been doing it all season long. It's times where you can have a debate between Devin Booker and CP3, whether who should be the MVP of that team. It's time I done seen CP3 close when he was healthy. The Phoenix Suns, when Devin Booker was out, they didn't skip a beat. They have the better basketball team. And so when I look at the MVP, if you take Jokic off the Nuggets would be in the lottery. If you took Embiid off of Philly would be in the lottery. If you took Giannis off of Milwaukee would actually be in the play-in tournament. If you took Devin Booker off the Phoenix Suns, they would still be a top-five team in the Western Conference this year. That's how I look at an MVP candidate. And I'm not knocking at what D. Book has done. I'm not knocking that Stephen A., but I'm not putting him top three. He's in the conversation for his top five. He may have knocked down DeMar DeRozan or Ja Morant or Luka, surpassed them. But those other three guys, they've been holding it down for the entire season.
Time out. Forget what I said about Dan Orlovsky. Uncle Perk at the barbecue, what the hell have you been drinking? The Phoenix Suns, without Devin Booker, top five in the Western Conference, over Golden State, Memphis, Denver, Dallas, Utah. Without Devin Booker, they're better than those teams. What you been drinking? Hell no, that ain't true. That is not true. Without Devin Booker, they are not a top five team in the Western Conference. That is patently false. That's number one. Number two, when you talk about what these teams would be without Giannis, Embiid, okay, Jokic, okay? Jokic is a different animal. Don't miss games, okay? He is what he is. We get all of that, and I understand that. But does that mean that we get to ignore what Phoenix is with Devin Booker? There's something to be said about that. That's like, okay, what would the Bulls have been without Michael Jordan? What would the Lakers have been without Kobe when Kobe won MVP? What would Oklahoma City have been without Russell Westbrook once Kevin Durant left, okay? The point that I'm trying to make to you is that nothing is not, you don't have to take away from anybody else. But that doesn't mean that you can't elevate somebody who deserves to be elevated. They're the best team in basketball. They've got 60 wins on the season already. They're 8-9 games ahead of Memphis as a number two seed. They're 14 games better than anybody in the Eastern Conference. And Devin Booker has been a model of consistency. He ain't scoring 51 game and two the next. Consistently, 25 points a game. 25-5-5. This is what he does on a night-in, night-out basis. And they just got from the finals. So everybody knew they was coming. Everyone knew they had arrived. And still he showed up this year and been busting everybody's a living butt. I can't ignore that. Can't ignore it.
Stephen A., I'm not ignoring it. I'm just telling you, he's not top three. He's top five. And so, so here it is. When you ask me what I've been drinking, I've been drinking nothing but smart water because I'm on a diet, okay? And that's why my brain is functioning.
Really?
It's functioning the way it is.
You're making me laugh. You're not eating. You're not eating.
Hold on. I may have squeezed in some oxtails here and there, but that's between. That's a whole nother thing. But listen, Stephen A. Here's the thing. Right. I'm not knocking what D Book is doing. I'm a fan. I believe he should be top five. But here's why I say, if you take D Book off the Suns, why I believe that they still will be a top five team in the Western Conference. Let me remind you, CP3 had Oklahoma City in the playoffs. So? And this team that he's on right now, with the way DeAndre Ayton has been playing, Mikal Bridges, the depth of that bench, the coaching of Monty Williams, this team is better than that Oklahoma City team that CP3 was on.
So they went a top five.
Plenty more NBA in just a bit, but we got other things to cover,
six.
Like the NFL. We'll
okay,
see you in a
that ain't Take top breath, five. Everybody.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The Miami Heat are good enough to go to the finals and bad enough to get their asses bounced in the first round. You don't know what you're going to get from them. Think about it. If the 7th and 8th seed truly ends up being Brooklyn or Toronto, Miami will face one of them. And both of those teams could beat Miami if they show up and Miami does not.
All right, let's take a look at the East standings as they are right now. We got the Nets at 8, Toronto at 7 by 3 games. Miami has the 1 seed by a game ahead of the defending champion Bucks, with the Sixers and the Celtics right on their heels. Big Perk back with us. Perk, what do you think? Should the Heat fear the Nets in a potential matchup of a 1 versus 8?
Well, I think anybody should fear the Nets, have some concerns, but do I think the Nets could beat the Heat in the one? No. Listen, let me tell you something about the Miami Heat, okay? Yes, they're going through, a little rough patch right now, but that's why Eric Spoelstra wanted to ruffle the feathers with Jimmy Butler. For the simple fact that he knows that these last games of the regular season matters. And see, that's when it comes back to coaching. When you look at the Miami Heat, this is the first thing. When you look at the Miami Heat and you look at their starting five, when you look at Bam, you look at Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and P.J. Tucker, when you look at those guys, when you talk about having a defensive squad that could match up with anybody, those are those guys. And then you throw in Eric Spoelstra, a mastermind, one of the best, if not the best coach in the game today, throwing those in-game adjustments. You don't know if he's in the 2-3 zone. You don't know if he's in the 1-2-2. You don't know what you're going to get out of Spoelstra. So when it comes down to game planning, along with personnel, along with a Tyler Hero coming in off the bench, who's, by the way, should win the Sixth Man of the Year award, I think we all agree. When it comes down to that and the leadership in that locker room, see, Udonis Haslam and Jimmy Butler, okay? Like, they done dabbed it up. Udonis Haslam is the leader. He keeps everything in check. But when it comes down to the Miami Heat, them goons from Dade County, I think the Brooklyn Nets need to be the ones that's going to fear the Miami Heat more than the Heat should be fearing the Brooklyn Nets.
The only reason I disagree with you about that last part, KP, is because the Miami Heat, at least as presently constructed, are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And when you go through what you go through for an entire season and then you end up losing in the first round, that's a bad look. And so I think it's one thing if you are middle of the road, if you're a 4th or 5th seed and something like that happened. But when you're the number one seed in a conference, you don't want to be going home in the first round. There are expectations that come with that.
And I think that Miami would be under some pressure to absolutely positively live up to it. Miami has beaten the Brooklyn Nets all three games they've played this season. Not one time have they faced both Kyrie and KD together. That has not happened. That changes this weekend, so we shall see. But it hasn't happened yet. And so as a result of that, I look at that tremendously so. And I'm telling you this. When you look at Brooklyn and what they bring to the table offensively, the reason why they put so much pressure on you is that on an off night, they're going to put up buckets. The point is, are you going to always put up buckets? We've seen Miami, and we know that Miami is capable of exploding against anybody. They can easily represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. I totally understand their potential. And quietly speaking, it would not bother me at all if that ended up happening. I just think that's important to point out there. Having said all of that, though, in the end, what it comes down to is this. What is going to be required of you in order to get there? And when I look at the Miami Heat, I'm not saying that Miami can't beat Brooklyn. I'm not saying Miami can't beat anybody. I'm saying against Brooklyn, you got to have all your ducks in a row. You can't have off nights. You can't be ill-prepared. And even though that leadership does matter with Kyle Lowry, PJ Tucker, and all of that, I totally get that, totally understand it. The flip side to it is that when you've got veterans, it's not about KD's talent and Kyrie's talent, and it stops there. It's that they know when to do what they need to do. It's that when that counts. It's moments that matter. And sometimes when it gets tight, I've seen Miami, despite Hero's excellence and him being your sixth man of the year, because I completely disagree with you about that. Totally agree with you about that. Jimmy Butler's supposed to be the offensive option, number one option. Bam Adebayo, we know how athletically gifted he is and what he can bring to the table. But there are times when you look at the Miami Heat and you say, who's going to close for us? Who do we give the ball to? And we say, take us there, damn it. Get it done. There's a lot of nights where it doesn't seem to be that way for them. And against Brooklyn, particularly KD and Kyrie, that needs to be. I'm not saying you're wrong, KP. I know you could be right. I don't blame you for that. I'm simply saying, for me, I'm looking at how explosive Brooklyn is and what kind of pinch they're going to put you in. And I'm not sure that Miami doesn't have something to be worried about. I don't think anybody should want to face Brooklyn in the first round but Boston.
Well, look, I'm going to say this to you. When I watched Kyrie and KD, Stephen A. again, I told you, I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not dismissing that. But what I have concerns with, and I'm going to give you this point right here. What I have concerns with is Steve Nash against Eric Spoelstra. That's a matchup in itself. And so when things escalated the other night on the Miami Heat bench, you know why it escalated? Because Jimmy Butler didn't contest the shot the right way.
Right.
See, when you have a coach that's willing to take it to that level because of a little thing like that, That matters. I just watched the Brooklyn Nets give up 140 points to the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant, and I didn't see Steve Nash scream one bit about defense. See, that matters to me. And those are the little things that don't show up in the stat sheet. You know why Eric Spoelstra went crazy? Because Jimmy Butler didn't contest the shot? Because in the locker room, they say, go contest the shot to make them miss and not hope that they miss. You see what I'm saying? And the percentages drop down. See, that's the difference. Those are the little things that get you those championships that the average person can't see, or the guys that don't be in the locker room don't know about. And that's the concerns that I have when it comes down to Steve Nash.
Well, the concerns are valid, and I get where you're coming from. But we might be, dare I say, we might be being a bit premature when we look at the Miami Heat. They've lost two in a row. Milwaukee is now one game behind them for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And both Philly and Boston are a game and a half behind them in the Eastern Conference. So Brooklyn, in all likelihood, is going to end up as an eighth or a seventh seed, because I'm looking at them right here, and they're three games back of the sixth seed. The likelihood is that they're going to end up as an eighth or a seventh seed. which means that the one or the two seed is going to end up going against them. It could be Miami, or it could be Milwaukee, or it could be Philly, or it could be Boston. Shove Boston aside, because with their defense collectively, they'll go against anybody. Philly with Harden, you want to meet Kyrie in the first round after all that happened this year? I'm not sure about that.
No.
Milwaukee. Milwaukee,
I'm with you.
You're the reigning, defending NBA champions. Do you want that matchup against KD in Brooklyn again in the first round, this time with a healthy Kyrie? I don't know about that. And then, of course, there's Miami. So it can get very interesting. Get very interesting. I'm just saying.
It can.
I'm just saying.
It can. But see, Stephen A., I'm like this when it comes down to the Eastern Conference. It's almost like boxing. Styles make fights, right? So when I look at the Philadelphia 76ers and I look at the Brooklyn Nets, I'm giving the edge to the Brooklyn Nets. But when I look at them going against a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, I give the Milwaukee Bucks the edge over the Brooklyn Nets because I feel like in some type of form or fashion, the way that Jrue Holiday plays defense on the perimeter, he could neutralize Kyrie Irving. We saw what he did to Devin Booker and CP3 last year in the finals. When you talk about one of the best guard defenders in the NBA, that's Jrue Holiday. So I think it all comes down to the style and the matchup when you talk about the Brooklyn Nets and who they want to face. I bet you they want to face the Philadelphia 76ers and not the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, that's for different reasons other than basketball.
Perk, you have a wonderful...
You are something else.
He is something.
That's why Brooklyn won. That's why Brooklyn won Philly.
Something
that ain't about basketball.
Hey, all right. We got to go.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Tyreek Hill introduced yesterday as the newest member of the Miami Dolphins. The trade that shocked the NFL, just one of many huge movements in a wild NFL offseason. Now two of the league's top receivers have new homes with the Hill trade and Devontae Adams being dealt to the Raiders. Damian Woody joining us now. Where is he? There he is. Finally got the big fella. Good to see you. Woody, these moves are big changes for two of the NFL's consistently good teams, but which do you think is more likely to disappoint in 2022, the Chiefs or the Packers?
Yeah, Molly, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, Stephen A., the last time we saw the Packers in the NFC divisional game with the great Aaron Rodgers, like you always talk about, this was a team that scored a total of 10 points. 10 points on offense against the San Francisco 49ers in that game, okay? And I want to remind you of what the Green Bay Packers are losing. Even after only scoring 10 points in that divisional game, you let Devontae Adams walk out the door. This was a guy over the past 2 years where the Green Bay Packers have had their most success, has had a season with 123 catches and another season with 115 catches, for a total of 29 touchdowns. That is what has walked out of the building in Green Bay and into the desert in Las Vegas with the Raiders. The next receiver for the Green Bay Packers was Alan Lazard, and he barely had 500 yards receiving, Stephen A. So listen, I get it. They got the great Aaron Rodgers. They got A.J. Dillon. They got Aaron Jones. But when you let that type of production walk out of the building in Green Bay, I don't know if any rookie or rookie combination will be able to come in and replace that type of production for the Green Bay Packers. And I get it. They play in the NFC, which is clearly the weaker conference on paper right now with everyone loading up in the AFC. But this Green Bay Packers team is not going to be as good as the team that we've seen in the postseason the past couple years. I can tell you that right now.
Well, first things first, there's a couple of things. When you talk about what you want to remind me of, the first thing you should want to remind me of is what it's like to see you in a tie, okay, and a blazer, instead of you sitting in your house looking like a notorious Liberace. That's what you need to be doing, okay? That's what you need to be doing, reminding me of what you look like in a tie and a blazer. That's number one, okay? There you go. That's right. Look at you with gloves on and all. That's ridiculous. Right. That's number one. Number two, I get where you're coming from because Devontae Adams is gone and now Valdez Scantling is gone, and I get all that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, honestly, Biggie, I got to tell you, I think people are sleeping on the impact that Tyreek Hill, his absence is going to have on this offense. I think what he brings to their vertical, and it ain't just their vertical game, because you got to remember, it's not just the breakaway speed he had. He was so cat quick. He was a nightmare even when he was running routes in between the seams, in between the numbers, okay? This dude is a nightmare everywhere he is on the field. You got to keep your head on a swivel. That's how phenomenal he was. And when you look at the fact that he's not going to be there any longer, yeah, they might make up for it because they might run the football more. They might get away, from doing what they were doing, as Dan Orlovsky pointed out earlier. But I'm just of the mindset, he's so phenomenal in so many ways as a wide receiver. I think it's a devastating loss for this offense. And I don't think guys in the draft or guys like Mecole Hardman and Valdez Scantling, as gifted as they may be, particularly Mecole Hardman, even with Travis Kelce there, I don't believe for one second that you can just easily offset the loss, the devastating loss that this brother is going to bring to the equation. I just don't see it that way. When you got Jones and Dillon out of the backfield in Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers being, very judicious in how he throws the football, yes, he can make any throw, and he can be electrifying himself, but it's not like he was throwing the ball all over the place. He was throwing it to Devontae Adams, so he can get it to others, even though that's going to be a loss too. But Tyreek Hill is a different kind of animal in terms of the fear factor that he instilled in opposing defenses. I don't think it's conventional in any way. I think it was an aberration. I think it was very abnormal. And the fact that he is gone, I think it's going to have a devastating effect on Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and that offense led by Patrick Mahomes.
Well, here's what I will say about Kansas City, Stephen A. You know, as far as Tyreek Hill is concerned, the reason he's so dangerous is because he has something you can't teach, right? You can't teach speed. Like, he has world-class speed. But see, when you pay somebody that type of money, you're paying them for what they're going to be able to do moving forward. Do we expect Tyreek Hill to have that same type of speed moving forward? I don't think so.
For the next few years, why would not? Why would not?
For the next, because you can't keep up that type of world-class speed if you're Tyreek Hill. Age brings about wear and tear, okay? So that's what I'm looking at here. And also I'm looking at this. You got Andy Reid, one of the best coaches in NFL history, a brilliant offensive mind, with Patrick Mahomes, who's 26 years old, who has never thrown, less than 37 touchdowns in a season. You don't think Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes won't be able to figure this out without Tyreek Hill? And that's not disrespecting Tyreek Hill, but you don't think these guys will be able to figure out how to be able to be a prolific
offensive
without Tyreek Hill?
I'm not sold on
Tyreek Hill.
And I'm not sold on that. And I don't think you're, first of all, Tyreek Hill is 28 years old. The brother ain't 38, okay?
Okay.
It ain't like Father Tom is creeping up on him. He's 28 years old. That's number one. Number two, what about the West? What about the Chargers? What about the Raiders? What about the Raiders having Devontae Adams, all right? What about the Raiders and Robinson, all right, from Chicago? What about the Denver Broncos with Russell Wilson now? Listen, I think that the Chiefs are still a damn good football team, but they're a touch worse. And I think all three of those teams in their division have gotten significantly better. What about that?
Well, listen, I'm not denying that, but I'm going to go back to this. With your boy, your bad man in Green Bay, the last time we saw him, he scored 10 points with Devontae Adams. Now without Devontae Adams, like I said before,
that's one afternoon.
We're going to see what he's really about without Devontae Adams. Now
and
we how did the, really see.
And by the way, how did the Chiefs, do we all forget that highlight, how the Chiefs ultimately pushed the game into overtime before they scored, when they scored that touchdown against Buffalo in the divisional playoff game? What did Tyreek Hill do? How did he run through five guys and waved goodbye to all of them while he was running down the right sideline for a touchdown? We forget how electrifying this brother is.
Yeah, no question. I'm still waiting to see what Damian's all about on the keys. Still waiting. Been promised all
notorious
this time he's
going to
get up and walk over, the keys and put in that work. But we're still waiting every week, so it's cool.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
WrestleMania 38, the Super Bowl of wrestling. It's just over a week away, and one of the superstars that helped make this WWE event so spectacular is Paul Levesque, better known as Triple H. Hard to believe with all his accolades, he's an even better human being than a wrestler. Same for his incredible wife, Stephanie McMahon. Stephen A. went one-on-one with the legend in a powerful interview, all access. Here's just a portion of their conversation.
This week on Stephen A.'s World.
I had a viral pneumonia. My lungs were inflamed, and as the next couple of days went on, when I got home, it got increasingly worse, and my wife saw some blood and stuff that I was coughing up, and went and got checked, and it was coming from the viral pneumonia, but I had fluid in my lungs, I had some fluid around my heart, so they followed up on it, did an EKG and echo and everything, and basically, the way your heart pumps out 55 to 60% of your ejection fractor, if fracture is a good number. I was at 30. And I got a quick text message saying, don't take time, pack a bag real quick, head to the emergency room. I'll fill you in on the way. So by the time I got to the emergency room, my ejection fracture had gone down to 22, which, I was in heart failure.
Wow.
Bad. By the next morning, as they figured that out, that evening, by the next morning, as they were sending me in to get an MRI done and about to go in for a heart cath, my ejection fracture was down to 12. So I was
I was
nose diving and sort of at the 1 yard line of, where you need to be and or where you don't want to be, really, for your family and your future. When they tell you it's 99%, it gets real. We have three young girls. Yeah. 15, 13, 11, suddenly I come home, I'm a little bit sick, and their dad, who's, strong always, suddenly is in the hospital. And I don't know if they understood the consequences of it, but, there's moments in there where when they're putting you out for stuff and you think, is this it? Do you wake up for this? That's tough to swallow, and makes you think differently, I'm sure, as you've come out of your COVID scare. Makes you think differently about life. Doesn't make you any less driven for the things that you do, but it certainly makes you appreciate the things that you have more. Your friends, your family.
As great of an executive as you are, you're also a great champion. What does the future hold for Triple H right now? That's what people want to know.
Yeah.
What do you say to them when asked that question?
Well, for me, as far as in-ring, which I get a lot, I'm done.
You'll never fight.
I will never wrestle again. First of all, I have a defibrillator in my chest, which, probably not a good idea for me to get zapped on live TV.
How about that?
Subscribe to ESPN Plus
to tune in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stephen A., incredible interview, and I had no idea that was going on with Triple H. And as I said in the lead, him and Stephanie McMahon are salt of the earth. They're both incredible human beings and obviously very successful as well. Tell me a little bit more about your sit-down with him and what more we can expect.
You know, he hasn't been doing any interviews, and he hasn't been talking a lot. And any time that they asked Stephanie McMahon, see, how is he doing? She said he's okay, he was feeling better, but they didn't go into any details. Part of the reason was because they didn't know. You know, he's still recovering. He's still, you know, around 50% of himself, but it was incredibly, incredibly serious what he was going through, what his family had had to endure. And, you know, I guess, you know, he really didn't elaborate on it to me because I didn't get into me too much. But knowing what I had gone through with COVID and how serious it was, obviously there was a comfort level in talking about it to me, I suppose. He was very, very open about the details of what has transpired. It was about a 15-minute interview, and you'll see it all. Or you go to ESPN Plus this afternoon, you will see it on Stephen A's World from start to finish. But it was riveting because I remember what I went through, and I remember what I had to go through due to COVID. His wasn't due to COVID. It was due to a genetic heart disorder, and that's really what plagued him. But he got to a point where he thought it was over, and he thought it was pretty close until they discovered whatever it was that they needed to discover and ultimately went about the business of healing him. And it changed and altered him in a way that obviously is for the better, elevated his level of appreciation for life. And he's got a good life. Like you pointed out, Stephanie McMahon is a special, special lady. She's really a sensational person.
Total package.
The total package. And to have three daughters, you know, with her, and you're looking at these folks, and at one time, you know, you're the executive VP for talent and global strategy and talent for the WWE. You're recruiting a lot of the talent we salivate over. We can't get enough of watching. This is the guy that's on his grind, making it happen all the time. And then suddenly, this is after you've been a 14-time champion and all of this stuff. And suddenly, here you come. And literally, just months ago, where people were wondering what was going on with you, you were wondering whether you were going to live to see tomorrow and whether or not you were going to have to leave your wonderful wife and your three beautiful daughters behind. And so he's gone through an awful lot, but he's made the road to recovery. It is not the first time that I've interviewed him. Yeah. I've always been an incredible fan of the WWE. I'm an incredible fan of his and his wife. I'm a huge Vince McMahon fan. Now that we got our boy Nick Khan as the president of the WWE, the godfather himself, the one and only Nick Khan. I mean, you know, you just, it was really, really good, Molly, to see him go, to get through this and to be back on track. Because you could just still tell, even though he's months removed from it, the fear that was in his eyes about what was going to potentially happen.
And he's such a superstar, and I think it humanizes him. But then also, it's inspiring in how he's coming back from that. And Stephen A., I also connected with it, too, because I'm the youngest of three girls, and just hearing him talk about, and you have two daughters, and, and that scare, and he didn't know if he would make it for those three teenage girls. So I can't wait to see more of this interview. And Stephen A., before we go, because I'm sure the audience would love to hear this, when you went through your scare with COVID, and obviously were very sick and in the hospital and lost all that weight, what do you take away from that? How do you feel like that changed you?
Well, it does put a lot of things in perspective. You think about your family, your friends, your loved ones. You think about the things that you complain about from time to time in life. Acting as if things are so difficult and so hard, and then you recognize it's really not that difficult at all. You think about how blessed you truly, truly are to be in the position, say myself or somebody like him is in. The true loves of my life are my daughters. I'm absolutely in love with them. And to see, to imagine that I could be gone and away from them, not to see them grow up and be the wonderful ladies I fully expect them to be. That was devastating in and of itself. But I've got four older sisters who are absolute treasures to me, and being gone from them, I got 15 nieces and nephews, eight of which I'm daddy to them because their fathers are no longer here. And so to just think about the family and the loved ones and the wonderful friends and the inner circle that I have, and to go from being on First Take every day, loving you to death, loving the producers, Antoine, James, Ryan, Sam Tanucci, all the folks that I work with at ESPN, all the colleagues and contributors that contribute to the show, and all of these folks are friends of mine, and to be fine one day, sick the next, and then a week later, 2 weeks later, they're telling you this might be it. And you never saw something like that coming.
So
it devastates you, and it puts your life in it provides a level of focus that almost nothing else can bring to it.
Stephen, I hate to cut you off because I could keep talking about this, but we have to get in one more commercial break. Yes, obviously, puts everything in perspective and makes us much more grateful not to sweat the small stuff. I can't wait to see this entire interview with Stephen A. and Triple H one-on-one when the latest edition of Stephen A.'s World drops on ESPN+. Do not miss it. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
No, it's been great, you know. Not just Jersey City, just in general, right? With the last 2 years with COVID and everything been so down and so dark, right now just a time where, you know, especially in Jersey City and New Jersey, everybody's rallied around us. It's been tremendous. I mean, the support has been unbelievable.
Stephen A., New Jersey stand up? Is that what we got here?
I think so. They represent, and listen, Shaheen Holloway give them a lot of love, a lot of credit. They won 21 games this year. They've been balling out. They're going up against Purdue. That's obviously going to be a tough task, Purdue being a number three seed. But the bottom line is this. He said it right. New York stand up. New York represent. These are brothers from the city and Jersey. These are rough riders. This ain't much to them. They got this far. The pressure's on Purdue, not St. Peter's. St. Peter's going to show up. Is Purdue going to show up? They should. We'll find out.
Goodbye, Stephen A. You have an amazing weekend.
You too.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.